chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. And if you're looking at the Bibles under the pew, that's on page 1080. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled within them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.
What a sobering passage that Keith just read for us. Can you believe that? It would have been better for a person to not even have known the Lord than to have known Him and fall away. Peter reveals the seriousness of backsliding that goes on from time to time in the life of an individual who had come to once know the Lord, serve the Lord, live for the Lord, and drift away. Now, I did say Peter. You know, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? An interesting character. Of all people to make that statement, it was Peter. I think that we can learn something from the Apostle Peter when we look at his life. Some of the events swirling around that have swirled around Peter and his own denial of the Lord. There's a lot we can learn with regards to the behavior of a backslider. I'd like for you tonight to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. For the most part, that's where our lesson will come from this evening. And what we'll do is, in Mark chapter 14, we'll begin to analyze and look at Peter's behavior with Jesus Christ and identify some things that are characteristic of one who is backsliding or who has backslidden. So if you were there, Mark chapter 14, and actually I want to begin down in verse 27. Now, keep in mind, Jesus has just instituted a memorial, the Lord's Supper, a memorial that we observe every first day of the week, and for a good reason. But after that occurs, Jesus speaks of Peter's denial. Verse 27, it says, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. The first critical piece with regards to one backsliding is this. It is pride. It is pride. Peter, in a boastful manner, claimed, I'm not going to fall away. I'll stick beside you thick and thin, Lord. Just don't do it. And in so doing, Peter takes the first step into backsliding. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 Solomon, that wise preacher, said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Why is this the first step? Because the first step, folks, in entering the kingdom of God is opposite of pride, isn't it? It is humility. Before one can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and stepping into the kingdom and being a child of God, the church, the kingdom, one must humble themselves. And it's the totally opposite of pride, isn't it? Jesus would remind us in Matthew in chapter 18 and verses 3 through 4, again having a child in his midst, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And at this time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" They were taking a line from Muhammad Ali. "I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest." But Jesus made it very clear that to be a part of this kingdom is not about being great, being wise in your own eyes, having a high opinion of yourself. As a matter of fact, he would go on and say quite the opposite. He called a little child to him and he set him in the midst of them and he said, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives a little child like this in my name," he says, "receives me." Jesus says, you've got to be like a child. You've got to be converted and you've got to be humble. So if we lose humility, we take the first step backward. Paul's advice to the saints in Corinth certainly is appropriate. There in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 11, whenever the Apostle Paul is referencing the Israelites who had become unfaithful unto God, strayed away from God. And Paul would remind those saints in Corinth to look at that as an example. He says all these things in verse 11 happened to them as examples that were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. He says, in other words, we can learn a lesson from this. We can learn a lesson from this. Peter's pride should serve as an example as well. Something else that comes to mind when we go back to Mark chapter 14 and we're looking in verses 32 and following, that night of betrayal and deceit. Beginning in verse 32, "Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go and I pray.' Peter, James, and John went with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch.' He went a little farther, and he fell on the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.' Then he came and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh, it is weak.' And again he went away and he prayed. He spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to answer him. Then he came a third time, and he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. The second behavior that we see with regards to one backsliding, slipping away from the Lord is just laziness. We get sloppy. We're losing our focus. Brethren, I am here to tell you tonight that the Christian life, faithfulness doesn't just happen. You've got to be committed. And you've got to be focused in your relationship and your love and your loyalty and your affection and your attention to the Lord. Sometimes I fear we go on automatic pilot. And we fail to realize the dangers that are around us spiritually that can trip us up, can cause us to stumble. We get lazy. We lose our focus. I'm reminded of Jesus' words in Luke in chapter 21. In verses 34 and following, Jesus would say, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And the day comes on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Be watchful. Be careful. The author of Hebrews directs our attention to this as well, does he not? The author of Hebrews reminds us there in Hebrews in chapter 2. He tells us to be diligent. Be diligent. Lest you drift away from the word that you've heard. When we're proud, we become lazy. And that leads to a third step. We can be like Peter in that we adopt a spirit of fear, of being a coward. You remember as the plot thickens, Jesus is arrested there in Gethsemane. He is led away. And the very words that Peter said he would stand by, the very Lord that he said he would stand by, he found himself retreating from those words. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 53, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes." Look at verse 54. "But Peter followed him at a distance." He followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself at the fire. Note what Mark says. Peter followed him at a distance. Peter stays far enough away to not even be identified with Jesus. "I'm not even in this man's company." Jesus, no doubt, was one of the most popular kids in class, but now he's very unwanted, very unpopular. He's not the cool kid we thought he was. Let's stay away from him. Peter's going to follow at a distance. He's a coward, isn't he? You know, Peter was unprepared for the challenge of facing the ridicule and the persecution that came along with being a servant of Jesus Christ.
When the rubber meets the road, and the heat gets turned up in the kitchen, you need to get out. At least that was his approach, or his pattern. Let me ask you, when we're considering the behavior of a backslider, does a Christian ever find himself or herself in a situation where they just may perhaps, potentially, be ashamed of God? Let me ask you, are you ashamed of carrying your Bible? Are you ashamed of praying? I've met Christians who are ashamed to pray out in public. And I'm embarrassed to say that. Many years ago, I remember one time, went out to eat with a gentleman, a leader in the Lord's church. And I just assumed we would sit down, Dawn, and we would just sit there and we would say a prayer. Someone would say prayer. And the gentleman looked at me and says, "Well, we don't pray out in public." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, we don't do that. We just don't want to give people the wrong impression." We don't want to do that. He says, "What's your thoughts on it?" I was glad he asked me. I said, "Well, my thoughts on it are this, or is this. Are you doing it for the wrong reasons, or are you doing it for the right reasons? You see, if you're doing it for the right reasons, you should never miss the opportunity to pray over your food out in public." Okay, and you know, we had a prayer for our food. I said that. We had a prayer over our food. But I could tell, he felt uncomfortable doing that. Now, when I bring these things to light, I know you sit there and say, "Surely not." Oh, yeah. But that's sad, isn't it? Whether or not we're ashamed to be seen with other Christians, are we ashamed to be seen with other Christians? I know there was a time in Peter's life when it didn't seem like he was ashamed of being seen with Gentile Christians, but whenever more popular and influential Jews would come around, and Paul, you remember in the book of Galatians, called Peter down to on the carpet on this. "You're playing the hypocrite." Because whenever some more influential Jews would come around, you'd peel off. "You're playing the hypocrite." Are you ashamed of your Christian family? Is this a popularity contest we're trying to win? Perhaps even ashamed to let others know that we are Christians. I'm going to tell you, that's an easy trap to fall into, because everything that goes on in this world around us is very non-Christian tolerant. Let's just put it like that. And it's easy for a person, if they're not grounded, if they're not faithful, to kind of want to just develop a little separation here. I mean, because the way the world looks at Christianity and the perception of one being a Christian is that it's just not a good image. So I'm just going to go on the low profile and just kind of just slide right on by and not even draw attention to the fact that I'm a Christian. Our world is celebrating immorality right now, folks. Do you understand that? Our world is celebrating immorality right now. My wife was sharing with me, I got to be careful what I say here. I know I'm being recorded. And I have to live with her. But I know that there's these things called CEUs. Continuing education. You got to do that. You know, if you want to continue to remain in your field as a teacher, as a, you know, a professional, whether it's a social worker, nurse, whatever. And one class setting in particular, the instructor is asking, tell us something that you're proud of. Well, there's many things that I can be proud of, you know, and I can't remember what she answered, but one lady in the class answered, me and my partner were the first ones to get married in the state of Ohio. And everybody was like, brother, I'm telling you, that's the world we're living. They're celebrating immorality right now. They're celebrating it. But among that, in the heat of that, you can see how a Christian would begin to develop a little fear and become a coward. Peel away from their identity as a Christian. Jesus made it clear in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory. You see, when we're ashamed of Christ, it's natural to go to the next step of backsliding. And it's also found right there in verse 54. We just read it. Peter was ashamed. He drew distance between him and Jesus. And I want you to notice here in verse 54, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Peter found himself trying to blend in with the world. Need to blend in. Don't want to get labeled. Don't want to get tagged as being with the man. Then I'm going to blend in with the world. If I blend in with the world, I look like the world, I talk like the world, behave like the world, well, obviously, it's a duck. They'll think I'm worldly. I'm just like them. Peter was ashamed to be seen with Jesus, and it becomes easy to mingle with those who are the world and enjoy the comforts of the world. But I want you to know that one cannot be comforted by the fire of the world without being burned. Close contact with that which can harm you will have bad effects. Ill effects. Proverbs in chapter 6, beginning in verse 27, says, can a man take a fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So it is with he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. I think the way we spin this up and the way we say this is like this. You play with fire, you're going to get what? You're going to get burned. That's exactly what Solomon is saying. So friends, we cannot flirt with the world and walk away unscathed. Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 33, evil company corrupts good habits. That's a fact. That's a fact. I guarantee it. You start making your associations with those who have loose morals, loose lips, and it won't be much longer. First, you'll start thinking that way, and second, you'll start behaving that way. That's the progression. Peter tried to blend in with those that were around him that were ungodly. And that led to the final step in this process of backsliding. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 66. By this time, Jesus is already, he's been arrested, he's before the high priest, he is being insulted, he is being assaulted. And we see Peter in verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and she said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girls saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is the one that was with him." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said unto Peter, "Surely you're one of them. You are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. That's a sad scene in the Bible, church. What a sad scene. Away from Christ, at the comfort of the world, Peter finds himself finally denying Jesus. Are you tracking this? In so doing, he put himself in grave danger. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 32 and 33, Jesus would say, "Whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I'll deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Peter was at risk right here at this moment in time. Now one may say, "Well, I've never denied Jesus like Peter has. I've never said that I would not believe in Jesus, so Jesus isn't real." Friends, there's various forms of denial. You may not deny him with your mouth, but you can deny him with your actions. We are called to be worshipful beings and creatures. But yet, so many will make excuses why they cannot be here. We are called to serve the Lord, but render little or no service. We're called on to stand by His side, and even if necessary, suffer and be ridiculed for the cause of Christ, if it so be. But we stand afar off in the comfort of the world. Thank goodness Peter had enough sense to come to his senses. What can a person do? A person can repent. A person can certainly repent of their sins, of their denial, of their loose morals, of the path that led away from their Lord. You know, perhaps one of the saddest passages with regards to Peter and this whole denial process is again there in Luke chapter 22 and verses 60 through 62, because Luke gives us a different perspective of it, of what I just read here in the book of Mark. Luke has Jesus actually fixing his eyes upon Peter. He's looking at Peter. Ever disappoint your parents? Ever disappoint someone who admires you, respects you, loves you more than your own their own life? And you did something, you said something to break their heart, and they didn't need to say anything. All they had to do is just look at you. And it just breaks your heart. Brother, I'm here to tell you, that's what happened to Peter when he denied Jesus. All he had to do was look at Jesus, and he could see the disappointment in Jesus' face. Here's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. The same look that Jesus gave Peter when Peter denied him, I am convinced that that same look, that same expression, brethren, that same feeling of hurt is present with our Lord when we deny Him. When we depart, we leave. Peter's instructions with regards to his trail and characteristics that displayed a heart that was backsliding. He would later write in the book, 1 Peter, how to guard against that. How to guard against pride. By way of humility in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 through 6. How to ward off laziness. Be diligent, be focused, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. How to not be afraid or fearful. Don't be a coward, but rather glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. And instead of being worldly, abstain from worldliness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 11 through 12. And instead of denial, Peter exhorts us to be ever ready to give a defense. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter knew all about backsliding, departing the faith, leaving the Lord. We might even call him an expert at it. But he also knew how to instruct those who belong to the Lord how to not be a backslider. Brethren, I tell you, our churches are empty today. Our churches are empty today because there have been many who have found themselves traveling the trail of the backslider. We need to pray for him. And we need to encourage him to repent and return, just like Peter did. You know what's interesting in that whole scene after Jesus is crucified and the angels appear unto those women and the message was given, go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter had to have been given himself a hard time after his denial. But the Lord still loved him, and he wanted him to return. Tonight, I want to encourage you to become a Christian, first of all. I want to encourage you tonight to give your life to Jesus Christ. You see that same book that we were looking in there in Mark chapter 14. Two chapters later, Jesus would tell us how to become a Christian. He that believes in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel. That's not my job. And you shouldn't either. I want to encourage you tonight, friend, to come forward, repent of your sins. We're going to ask you to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and be baptized into Christ, so your sins will be washed away, you'll be saved, and live a faithful life unto the Lord. Maybe you've done that, and maybe you've strayed away. Maybe you're already on that trail of denial, of backsliding. Well, what do you mean? I'm here. Listen, friends, it always begins in the heart first. And the body follows. This is called attention to your allegiance to the Lord. And you want to return. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, we ask for you to come forward as together we stand and we sing.